Come on now, are you glad to be in the house of God this morning? Oh my goodness. Our former pastor used to say, you know, I'd rather be here than the best hospital in town. Yeah, it never made sense to me either. I didn't know, is that good or is that bad? But we loved him, and I think he loved us too. And so we had some good influences in our life, didn't we? David and Shonda, I'm so glad you're here. What an amazing weekend. Pastor Marquita already told you this is not just an ordinary weekend. How many believe God is working in our midst? God is doing things, right? Even though we are not always aware of everything, even though everything he's doing is not always manifest, right? We have to trust and understand that he has been working from the beginning of time, you know, kind of just on this plan of redemption for humanity. And man, I tell you what, you know, I was thinking when she said this is not just an ordinary day. Today is the eighth. Eighth is the number of new beginnings. And I believe that God's going to be doing some new things in a lot of people's life. This whole weekend has just been phenomenal. I want to thank all of our Liberty Church family who've been serving and helping. Let's give them a big round of applause. Can we do that? You guys are amazing, amazing, amazing. I'm going to come back at the end of service today for just a couple of short things. We're going to pray over our pastors and missionaries and ministers at the end, and we're going to give you an opportunity to sow into what they're doing around the world. So I want you to know that right now so that you can begin to prayerfully. I think we've already been telling you that for a few weeks anyway, so hopefully you've already been praying about how you can partner with what God is doing around the world. And again, don't just believe what you see on the news and what you're read in the media. There's some great things happening in the world today. Amen. And so we're going to come back at the end. And, a few years ago, God blessed us with an amazing new campus, Legacy Park. We've kind of referred to it as Legacy Park because we knew it would be a kind of a long-term deal, right? And just a year or two after that, you know, the need became more and more apparent, you know, what it was going to take to push that thing through and develop that. And as we continued to pray, you know, God continued to remind us. And we put out there near the interstate that big sign that says the Global Missions Base. And we did that originally because we felt like that was a good kind of description of what we feel like God wanted to kind of use that facility for. It wasn't just for something local. It wasn't even for something regional, but we believe with all of our heart that that was something God was going to use to affect change around the world also. And so as we continue to pray and develop out that plan, as we continue to pray for resources, God's word reminds us that the way we receive is to give. Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So about 3 years ago, we said, you know what? Out of our need, we're going to begin to give out of that. And so we began to send out emails and text messages and messenger messages to all of our pastor friends and missionaries and different ones. And we say, you know what? We want to sow into you. We want to be a blessing to you. What do you need? What projects do you have going on in your parts of the world right now? And can we assemble? Can we gather? Can we talk about that? Can we fellowship? Can we help you? Can we pray for you? Can we sow into you for a day or two? And we've had just a wonderful response over the last 2 or 3 years. And kind of this is the outcome of that. And we believe God is put his hand of approval on that and blessed it. And can't wait to see how it continues to grow and develop and build and just what God wants to do. How many know God's kind of cool like that? He is. He really is. Like Mark, we just said, we've been blessed already with a lot of amazing ministry. But this morning, we get to hear from Brother John Smithwick, the president and founder of Global Ventures. I think you guys have already seen them. His beautiful family is here, and his big strapping sons are here, David and Andrew. It's been good getting to know them. So I'm going to invite him to the pulpit today. You guys give him a big round of applause as he comes, all right? Oh, wait. We got videos, don't we? Sure. See, I almost messed that up. I'm really good at that. Just redirect to the screen, and then he'll come up, okay?
Praise the Lord. God is good. We just want to give you a big... The first video you saw, of course, was just a recap for 2019. And so cool to see God do so much. And one year, we were gearing up for 2020 for even more. We were going after 20 crusades in 2020. And then all the craziness began to set in. How many know the devil doesn't like us going to the nations and impacting people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? He doesn't like people stepping into their destiny design that comes from above, that comes when they meet the Master and know the Father. But my attitude is, and our attitude at Global Ventures, is all he can do at the end of the day is hide and watch. Every trip we had planned this year, we lifted it up and we moved it to next year. And then every trip that we had already been planning for 2021, we kept it. So by the grace of God, we're going to be mobilizing more folks from all over, not only the Western world, folks come from other nations of the earth on the trips with us. And so a huge part of our assignment at Global Ventures isn't just to show you the crusade stage that I preached on, or myself and my wife, or even our boys, but it's to share in the harvest. Because the harvest belongs unto no one man. There's only one that's Lord of the harvest. It's the Lord God Almighty. And Jesus is the captain of the host. And we all serve him. in this great mission on planet Earth. And so it is a body effect, a body work and assignment. It's the thing that gives us our overall missional purpose on this earth. Amen? And before I get to just to preaching, I want to just take a moment of pause to say how unique you guys are here at Liberty Church International. I love, you don't find churches with international on the end of their name, usually. You guys are unique. What you guys are doing here, Pastor Scott, Pastor Marquita, it's phenomenal. And in my home state, I love it. Just a few hours from T-Town. Our headquarters is there right outside Tulsa and Catoosa, Oklahoma. If you're ever over that way, please let us know before you come. We want to, Martine and I are in the house. We want to give you a personal tour to show you how much we're about the mission of the church. We don't even call it headquarters. We named our headquarters building, got it by a vision from the Lord. The COME building, the Center of Mass Evangelism. And so we want to give you a personal tour of that and the history of what God's doing, not only through the church historically, but through Global Ventures. But a huge thank you to you as lead pastors in setting the vision and declaring it and making it about the nations. You know, God wants, amen. And it's so beautiful when, Martin, your church partnered with us before we even met your pastors. We just want to, again, just give two thumbs way up to all of you that you guys believe and practice what you talk about. And that is very rare in the United States of America that folks put the Great Commission first, reaching the nations at the forefront. And I know it's one of the reasons God's blessed you guys with the beautiful Legacy Park, and that's such an incredible facility. And I believe you just begin to see the great things that God has in and upon you, where He's going to manifest His glory in this day and this hour and the near days ahead to touch more of the nations, to touch precious souls with the gospel like never before, to cause people to step into their divine destiny assignment. If you are stirred in any way, we are, to go to the nations, we want to just say humbly but boldly, look no farther, we want you to come out. And our whole system and systems that we have, we believe strongly they were spirit-inspired. They're not about the Lone Ranger. It's about mobilizing the body. We get everyday people in all walks of life out in streets, markets, plazas, schools, and not just in those arenas, villages, barrios, barangay, but in mass crusade settings as well. Because many areas around the world, when you do it open and public and declare the gospel in regions that they haven't heard wide and far, man, it makes such a massive, it's like a meteor crater hitting from heaven. And the ripple effect, I mean, it's like dropping an A-bomb. And the effect, a spiritual A-bomb, is felt far and wide when that happens. And so we get you involved in every aspect of doing that, and even the crusade stage, sharing. We have a whole system where you can learn how to preach and reap the masses. So if at any point during this time you feel like, man, I'm supposed to go on one of those trips, stop by the table afterwards. If you have to skedaddle quick, just text GV for Global Ventures GV 2021 to 313131. Make sure you put your name, your email address, and your physical address. We don't bombard. We just keep you up to date here and there of what God's doing, but we want to stay in touch with you because of the divine partnership that's already established here with this beautiful ministry and Global Ventures. There's also more information if you feel you have a deeper call to go to the nations long term. We have a 1 to 3 year intensive training program called CORE. Check that out. We have accreditation with one of my alma maters, Oral Roberts University, where you can transfer in with credit. But that's what that Center of Mass Evangelism base of operations about. We would love for you to stop off, ask about more of that at the table or text, and we'll keep you posted. Turn with me to John, the 4th chapter. In John 4, we find an encounter that Jesus has as his disciples walk back into the towns of Samaria. They had come through Samaria, and they were running low on food, so they went into the market and were If I'm telling it in worldview of what I experienced around there, they went into the market to buy some food, and Jesus was at the well of Jacob. And he had an encounter with a woman at the well, and the reason this was so powerful was not only did he change her life, but he unveiled the heart of God in reference to the harvest so that his apostles of the Lamb and all those that were around would catch a glimpse of what God's heart was in reference to the harvest and how our assignment ties into the harvest. Many of us know this. If we were raised around church or been in church a few years, this encounter that he had with the Samaritan woman was really significant because the Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews, and yet Jesus, the Master himself, asked for her to give him a drink of water. She said, "How come you, being a Jew, ask of me?" Because she knew the Jews viewed them as half-breeds. They believed because of the Assyrians muddling in the Jewish race, was their view of it, that they were substandard to them. And Jesus turned it around. He had asked her a question so that he could share something deeper with her. He said, if you knew who was asking, you would ask him to give you a drink. And from that drink, you would never thirst again. She was like, whoa, you don't even have a pitcher to draw water. What are you greater than our father Jacob? Actually, yes, he was. He always is and always shall be. Greater than any other man, any other religious leaders that has ever walked the earth. Jesus is in a category all to his own. Because he wasn't a religious leader. He is and was and always shall be God the Son, King of kings, Lord of lords, Lord of glory, the only way of salvation, the only one that qualified to pay the price for all of humanity by hanging on the tree, the cross, between earth and heaven, shedding the blood of God, his very own blood, that would obliterate and purchase the sins of mankind, purchasing thereby redemption for all peoples, all races, all ethnicities, every tongue, every tribe, everyone, it was purchased through him. So he did sit in a category altogether higher than Jacob or any other that had ever walked the earth. And he went on to say, yeah, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of the water I'm going to give you, you'll never thirst again. And it took it a step further. It'll spring up out of your belly a well of everlasting water, everlasting life. Boy, he got her attention. She was like, I want this water that you speak of. And then Jesus began to gradually turn the tables and say, go get your husband then. Jesus was about doing things decently and in order. He instantly nailed her right where she was at. She says, I don't have a husband. And by the Holy Spirit's unveiling, he went on to tell, you've spoken correctly. You've had five husbands, and the man you're with right now is not your husband. And I'm convinced with all my heart, Jesus was not saying that to say, look at you, you Samaritan. I've unveiled even more how you're a horrible, skanky person. No doubt, she was so broken. But in sharing those words, it was out of a heart of love and compassion. Where he was poor, he was already pouring in that living water to her, saying, I know what you've been through. It was like he opened up the battered book of her life and thumbed through in one moment the tattered pages of her brokenness. As he said, yeah, you've had five. The man you're with is not your husband. She answered, said, I perceive that you're a prophet. Well, duh, doesn't take a rocket scientist after that. And then she said, I know Messiah's going to come. She had thrown another curveball about worship. Is it this place in our mountain or is it in your temple? And he said, no, the day's coming that true worshipers are only going to worship from the heart and spirit and in truth. Not about location, but about the condition of one's heart in spirit and in truth. And then she said, I know Messiah's coming. He said, the one that you're talking to right now is him. It so deeply impacted her to the core that she ran back into the city and told everyone in the community, come meet a man that told me everything I ever did. He didn't tell her everything. He told her one thing, but it was like he read her whole life in that one thing. People believed, the scriptures say, just at her words, at what she said. But then many, many more came out and believed because they heard the words of the Master himself. the words of goodness, the good news is still going forth through the church of the living God. And it is designed to massively and radically transform humanity if they'll just simply say yes to Him. In the midst of this whole context, the disciples arrive back and they see this woman sitting there. And they're kind of wondering, like, wow, this is uncustomary of the Master. We weren't here. But they don't interrupt. She takes off back into the town. They said, Master, eat. And that's where I want you to look. In John 4, verse 32, Jesus says this. He said, I have food. The old King James says meat. I have meat or food to eat that you don't know about. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Say, finish his work. Do not say there are yet still 4 months and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Say, rejoice together. Say, rejoicing happens when reaping transpires. Do you know all our combined efforts in the body of Christ are so that we can see a reaping of a harvest? I'm not talking about a financial harvest. I'm not talking about a natural harvest of peas or corn or cotton or whatever it might be. I'm talking about the eternal harvest. The greatest harvest on planet Earth isn't natural. It's not monetary. It's precious souls that are eternal. And rejoicing happens. All our combined efforts, the culmination is when precious souls come to Jesus, are born again, and step into their destiny design of what God has ordained and designed for them to do on planet Earth. And there is great rejoicing, the likes of which you, if you've never seen it happen before, especially in Mass, oh, you got to come out and see it. It's awesome. It's addictive. I get with people. I have the privilege of seeing people experience these things for the very first time and to see their lives change. I'll never forget my early days of leading teams with an organization called Teen Mania. Acquire the Fire Youth Conventions would happen, and we'd get teenagers signed up on youth trips. And some of them didn't know up from down. Some of them had just been saved off drugs, out of all sorts of just crazy things, out of Wicca, out of one young man we had was straight out of Satanism. And I began to work with these teenagers and see. One young lady was actually, she had been in Wicca, and her brother had been in Satanism. And she got born again. He was older and bigger than her, and he began to tease her and put her down and just basically persecute her. So by the time she got out on the mission trip, it was actually to Venezuela. By the time she got out on that trip, we were in Maracaibo, Venezuela, she was just a hot mess. Here, in her heart, she was born again. She loved God. But he had so abused her and demeaned her. You know, the devil plays dirty. That she was having these crazy just dreams, just inspired by the enemy, demonic. She was having these horrible dreams that this evil spirit was trying to taunt her. And finally she came to me and she said, you got to send me home. I said, why? You've done nothing wrong. Dawn, you're supposed to be here. You're here on a date with destiny. And she said, no, you don't understand. These things are going. She quickly told me the story I just told you. And she said, so every night I've been having these horrible dreams and that this spirit is haunting me and it's here. And last night I dreamed that it was going to possess me and cause me to grab a knife and go kill a fellow team member and then take my life. Definitely not the thing you want to hear as a leader of a team of teenagers right in the middle of your teen mission trip. I knew the devil was trying to bluff her out of her destiny. He knew she was right at the point of receiving the divine assignment for her life. He was trying to steal it. And I said, Dawn, let me tell you. And I began to tell her that very thing. I said, this is the enemy. He's afraid of who you become. See, when we step into Christ Jesus, we become a whole new person. You're not the same cat you were. even if it was moments ago, if you happen to pray the prayer, so you're not the same person, not the same woman, man, teenager, boy, or girl. You've got God on the inside of you. You became heaven's royalty. Oh, when we preached in India, I remember the very first time preaching in India, I had a full-fledged crusade and had been granted permission by my mentor in that day, Jerry Odell. He had the India Harvest Plan, and states like Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh do large, large crusades, but out in the villages where the vast, vast, large percentage had never heard the gospel one time. And I remember he gave me and Martine his blessing. He said, you come in, do your own crusades. And that plan, we always planted a hub church, a church outreach center on the end of every crusade and set a pastor in the last night of the crusade so that follow-up instantly began to happen. It was just a phenomenal plan. But the first night of that crusade, my crowd was so shy. I thought, oh my goodness, we need impact this first night so that it'll travel back into the surrounding villages of India if we don't have some sort of real tangible miracle. And miracles happen, word won't travel, and we won't have the growth throughout the villages of people hearing and then coming. And I want them to hear the gospel that'll save their soul. I want them to meet the Maker that designed them a personal masterpiece. Do you know there is no one that has ever existed exactly like you on planet Earth? Even if you're an identical twin, you are a masterpiece. Experts in genealogy and genetics say that there's nuances even in twins that make them altogether different. I could tell you that because my best two friends in high school, Stacy and Tracy Reed, they were football players. Let me clarify. Some people say, "Are your best two friends were girls?" No, they were guys. We believe in being all man. Hallelujah. I grew up in the areas of the hills of Arkansas and plains of Oklahoma and down in the valley of Texas, and we believe those three states believe in breeding real men. Amen. No confusion in my generation, and we believe in the same thing today. It's the enemy that brings gender confusion. God knew what he was doing when he created each and every single human being, and he made each and every one of us a masterpiece. Stacy and Tracy Reed, when I first met them, I couldn't tell them apart. I'd get them mixed up, but I got to be such good friends with them that if I called them on the phone and one of them picked up the phone and answered just with the word hello, I could say, "Hey, Stacy, I know it's you. Hey, Tracy," because they were all together uniquely different. Do you know God created you a masterpiece for a purpose, for a mission? You have things in you, on you, you were designed for by God Almighty that no one else can do exactly the way you can do it in this world. That's where there's no getting out of it. Every one of us one day will stand before him and give an account. We can't say, well, number three or four could have done. Not the way he custom designed you to do it. And I'm not saying that as a condemning thing, but as a compelling thing. Man, God's got things for you to do that no one else can do on this planet. You have such significance. Well, in that India village in India, that docile crowd, I'll jump back and finish Dawn's story because it ties into what I've just said, and then I'll come back to India. Dawn, as I begin to tell her that God in her is greater than the way that her brother had been treating her. He's greater than the devil that her brother was yielding to and the demonic forces. That she is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And all things now are under her feet. And she's been given a name that is above every name. And the devil's afraid that she's going to find out who she really is and that custom designed masterpiece that she is and what she's supposed to do as a result. You know, I saw the lights turning on. I saw hope rising in her eyes and in her face. And I said, listen, let me give you a few scriptures. And I quickly did a crash little course in authority and dominion and the power of the name of Jesus and who she was in Christ. I said, the moment you feel any eeriness, the moment, I'm going to pray right now, we're going to break this thing right now over you. But if dreams try to return, you wake up and you just declare in the name of Jesus, you're defeated and under my feet, and you just begin to laugh. Do you know Dawn had a 180 that moment? She went from being just conflicted and tormented to rising up and going out and winning souls and sharing Jesus. She said, I'm going to become an intern. At that time, we didn't have Global Ventures, but she plugged into Teen Mania's internship. She became so just absolute in knowing who she was in Christ Jesus that she would drive from right outside Tyler, Texas, where headquarters was, Garden Valley, all the way into Dallas. And she'd go into the Arts District, an area called Deep Ellum. And she would hunt for this group of people that were deeply demonic and had these rituals and vampire Bibles and crazy. She would find where they were and would walk in and quote scriptures and begin to share, because they were into unique, weird poetry. But she'd pull a, you know, Lamentations or, you know, Song of Solomon or the Psalms, start quote, and it'd catch their interest. And one day she encountered the ringleader. I believe he was in his early 20s. He went by the secret name Phoenix in that group. He walked up to her. He tried to use his whole ability of manipulation and dark arts to woo her. That's what he would do to women and then his followers. And then finally, he just all of a sudden threw his arms down and came clean. He said, I knew it the moment you walked in the room. He said, because the light and aura shining out of you is greater than anything I've ever seen. God took Dawn from being a tormented teenager to being a champion of the glory of God, to where this ringleader is like, hey, can you tell me what you have? That's what God wants to do in and through each and every one of us in the areas of life that He's assigned, the spheres of influence that He's called us to walk in. He wants us to shine forth the glory of heaven and unleash that glory in this earth realm and make a difference in precious people's lives for eternity. Just like Jesus did with this precious woman. Turned her from a battered, dysfunctional wreck into one that was convincing her whole community. Became an instant influencer for the kingdom. Praise God. Well, that night in India, it actually was the first crusade after taking part in 8 with Brother Reverend Jerry O'Dell, that he had given me his blessing. My dad was there, the only trip my dad's ever been able to go on. I would not be the man I am, the man of God, or the man, period, without my dad and his role, my dad and mom's role in my life. So I was so grateful he was there to see this first crusade that was fully our own that we were doing. My brother was there, my only sibling. And I was like, Lord, we've got to have breakthrough. This crowd's, they're docile. They're almost backwards where they, you, no expression, no emotion. And the first man to give testimony to come to the stage began to yell out. I mean, crazily yell out. I was like, oh, dear Lord. Our team that's there to interview the miracles must have let a Hindu radical slip through, because this guy is crazy. He doesn't fit the profile of this crowd. And I was like, what are we going to do? I mean, this is going to demolish things. I didn't know it, but he was yelling out in the native tongue, the mother tongue of Andhra Pradesh. Markapuram, Andhra Pradesh is where we were. He was yelling out in Telugu because, see, he had been a bricklayer. And at that time, probably his region had 50% or more unemployment. His life trade he was going to lose because the previous years he noticed his eyesight had dimmed year after year after year. And he was down to the final chapter of eyesight. But that night, as the gospel of the Lord Jesus went forth, his eyes opened wide open. And he was yelling out across the crowd saying, I see your faces. I see your shirts. I see your saris. Praise be to God. Something broke right then in the atmosphere. It went far and wide across those villages. And in 5 nights, we were able to preach the gospel to over 100,000 people. We polled them night after night, well into the 90-plus percentile. It was their very first time hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an awesome harvest of souls. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The very first time I was in India with those the mentors I mentioned, it hit me so deep and true when I saw this man that was Hindu. They had the markings on their forehead. He had his little daughter, about 5 years of age. And he had carried her from Hindu temple to Hindu temple, paid something like 32,000 Indian rupees, a huge exorbitant amount for their culture. See, her eye was completely, one eye was completely blind and the other eye began to fail. And Hindu priests, and gods of stone and wood, after 32,000 rupees, temple after temple, none of them had helped her. Gods of stone and wood could not answer. But one night, hearing that this God of Christians is being told about in this open field area, he carried his little daughter. And without paying one single Indian rupee, he met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, opened her little eyes. Not just the one that was going blind, both of them, she saw. They came up on the crusade stage, and man, it was riveting. It was exhilarating as they testified. I mean, little red dot ash markings of Hinduism on their heads, but that night they left with the markings of Jesus in their heart. They were saying, where is this brand new church that you're planting? We are now going to follow Jesus. He has healed my daughter. I am giving my life to him, open and public, unashamed. That is the power of the gospel, and that is the impact in precious human souls when we dare to step out and let him shine mightily through us. Great and mighty things take place. Jesus said, I have food to eat that you know not of. They're thinking, somebody slipping a piece of bread? Did that woman have a fish? What's going on? He said, my meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. Listen, no matter how high we go with God, no matter if we learn the deepest, most profound truths, we never get beyond eating the meat, the food of God. Jesus said it was doing the will of the Father, but make no mistake about it. It was transforming this precious woman's life by pouring himself, his living water, into her. And that is an assignment that each and every one of us aren't just assigned to, but we have the wonderful, glorious privilege of doing. Impacting the harvest of precious souls. Where he plants us, where he sends us, where he directs us. And he goes on and tells them, hey, don't, no. That saying you have 4 months and then comes harvest? He said, no, that's wrong. He said, lift up your eyes right now. Years ago, Reinhard Bonnke preached a message. See, there was one main thoroughfare into the market village area there where they went. And they were so about what was going on in day-to-day ministry that their heads were down, the disciples. And they missed this woman. Very uncustomary in that day for a woman to come out in the middle of the day. It made sense early in the morning to have water to carry throughout the day to take care of livestock, and then before evening to carry a family and livestock through the night. But to come out in the middle of the day meant something seriously was off kilter. And they missed the very thing that they had been assigned to do. He first called them unto himself that they might be with him. And in that being, he would send them forth. He sent them forth to change lives. Do you know we can get so busy about doing day-to-day life that we miss the very reason he gave us abundant, eternal life? See, eternal life, the God kind of life, is more than just for eternity. It is for here and now. It is life that cannot be contained. It is life made to transform in and through his name. And when we step out and begin to manifest heaven's life in that way, the Zoe, God kind of life, lives are forever changed. He said, don't say 4 months and then comes harvest. Lift up your heads. Lift up your eyes. For the fields are already white right now unto harvest. It's all around. Those words of Jesus have echoed down through the ages. And each generation, each era of time, they've gotten louder and louder and louder till now. And I believe with Apostle right here that we have stepped in. I believe it's the last era of the church age. And I don't care what side of the fence politically anyone is on. Praise God, we need to declare God's perfect will. We were talking about this yesterday. Be done for the purpose of our nation, what he's called our nation unto. But at the end of the day, don't forget this. You and I belong to a kingdom that's not Republican. It's not Democrat. It's not independent. It's not Tea Party or any other party. It's a kingdom in which there is no end. And we serve as kings and priests, the King of glory. And we stand represents just like when Joshua was getting ready to take the land, and all of a sudden it looked like a man clad in armor was there, ready for battle. And he said, "Are you with them?" Or he said, "Uh-uh. I'm the captain of the host of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts." And Joshua fell to his face. Man, we're on that side. And because we're on that side, when we stand and want what he wants for the same reasons he wants it, all of the host of heaven, all of the powers of heaven stand behind us and back us up in and on this earth. Guys, in this last era of time, hallelujah, there's some cities to take. There's some nations to shake. There's some history to make in and through the risen King of glory. And it's us that's going to do it. This is the greatest hour to be alive on planet Earth. Don't reminisce and glory by looking back. I praise God for men like Wigglesworth and John G. Lake and women like Maria Woodworth Etter and Catherine Kuhlman and Brother Seymour. I praise God for those that have gone before. It really is true. I say this a lot. I see farther because I stand on the shoulders of giants that have gone before. And I'm grateful for that. But listen, we're not to camp out looking back in years gone by and great miracles they had. They're leaning over the banister of heaven saying, "This is the greatest era of time to be alive on the earth." That's the group that's got it on them to do the greatest things that God has ever done in and on the earth. Oh, I wish I could be back there for a moment to partake of what they're doing, what they're unleashing, what they're unveiling, what they are ushering in. The world harvest is afoot. It's underway. And it's massive and it's grand. I pulled it up looking at Joshua Project this morning. Google says 7.8 billion on the planet. Joshua Project's a little more conservative. They say about 7.75. Do you know out of that, it's close to 4 billion people that have never heard the gospel one single time? See, the enemy would like the church, especially here in the United States of America in this year, he would like us to get so distracted, so sidetracked, so just so worked up into a frenzy, so just off focus that we miss that this is the greatest moment to be living and the greatest mission to be partaking of. And make no mistake about it, when I say the nations, I mean also the nations and the nations. God's end game, Matthew 24, 14, they're asking Jesus, "So when are all these things going to come about?" And really they were kind of asking a little bit, you know, they weren't born again yet. There was a little bit of selfish motivation there in the disciples. Because deep down in the Jewish heart, it was like, when are we going to have this oppression lift? When are we going to have these stinky Romans off our backs? When are you, and they framed it up, when are you going to come in the end of the age, and when are you going to rule and reign and all these things fulfilled? That's how they ask it. But Jesus took it further than just this one woman. Then he unveiled the whole end game plan of God Almighty. You know, a little over a year ago, a movie came out called Endgame.
Yeah, come on.
I might have seen it a time or two because I've got two teenagers that love the Marvel Universe right along with their dad. I grew up reading Marvel. You know, sometimes you just have an anomaly where Hollywood doesn't just get it all wrong. An ultimate sinister villain wanting to wipe out half of all that's living. Do you know right now if the devil could have his way and he could snap his fingers like old Thanos from that movie? Do you know over half the earth's population would step into an eternity without ever hearing the gospel of what Jesus has done one single solitary time? What a great commission opportunity. What a great movement of heaven that our set of generations get to take part in on planet Earth. Oh, it's great and grand. And I mean adventures, oh man. God put adventurous things in there from David and his mighty men and the great exploits all the way to the early church. But let me tell you, those things haven't ended. They didn't end with Wigglesworth or Lake. When we were in Niger, Africa, I knew God had called us to go to Niger. That's just north of Nigeria. And man, there's a lot of craziness that happens right up there. And I didn't realize how crazy it was, but I knew he called us to go bring a team in. One of my dear friends even asked, John, are you sure? There's always crazy stuff going on, bombings of churches and stuff like that has happened. And I said, I went back to the Lord, my friend Dr. Edwin. I said, Edwin, I have prayed and I know that I know I'm assigned of heaven to go in with a team. And we're not talking about, we're talking open air crusade. And we were right there in Maradi, Niger, Africa. They told us it was the epicenter of Islam. They said the only other thing that had ever been attempted, they tried to do a praise night outdoors to try to ease into things. And people showed up of a certain persuasion and it was boshed. But I knew God had called us to do this. We held this crusade in a wrestling. They have this wrestling thing they do, and they have these huge, like, sand-like plazas or, you know, where they'll wrestle. That's the national thing that they do there in Niger, Africa. And do you know, that night I began to get burdened, and before that evening, I began to pray in the Spirit. Thank God we have tools. We have equipment that's from heaven. We have equipment that's beyond the natural. And when you're assigned to do something, God, he backs you up every step of the way. He's equipped you to do that which you're assigned to do. I began to pray in the Spirit. I got a hold of Martine. She wasn't with me on that trip. I got a hold of my parents as well. We all began to pray in the Spirit. Thank God for a supernatural way to pray. We need to be a praying church. And we don't need to just rely upon our intellects or our known language. Thank God we can pray in English or Spanish, whatever our known natural language is. But thank God there is a supernatural way to pray, and we need to be praying in other tongues. The perfect prayers of God, declaring and praying out the mysteries of heaven on this earth. As we were praying, God gave clarity to it. We planned, we prepared, but that night in the natural, we had no idea what would take place as the gospel was being preached and different segments of the gospel that we had trained our team and myself. As I got up to give the final wrap up, rocks began to fly. One of my staff members was hit in the chest, supernaturally protected. Another in the arm, supernaturally protected. When I got up and did the final wrap up and prayed the prayer of salvation, there was probably about 3,000 or 4,000 out there on that, in that whole wrestle arena. And all of a sudden, man, it just felt like the crowd was so combustible. It wasn't all of them were radicals. There were a few radicals that were trying to incite the whole situation. It felt like the crowd had gotten to a point that if something didn't turn, they were going to overrun our stage. I had just prayed the prayer of salvation, and right after doing so said, every one of you that said that prayer and meant it from your heart, I said, raise your hand. Over half the crowd raised their hand saying, I said it, I meant it from my heart with all my heart. I said, you just became children of God. Do you know one thing that whole belief system hates is saying that God has a son?
Yes.
So here I am turning around and telling the whole crowd, everyone that said that meant it from their heart, you're now also all sons of God as well. Then it really got crazy. Because right as I said that, they couldn't understand my English, but they understood the house as it was being interpreted. And I saw a blur up out of the crowd. A slingshotted rock, probably upwards of 100 miles an hour, hit my translator right between the eyes. Should have put him in the hospital. It blood on the stage. It was crazy. A white brother that I didn't even know was behind me and spoke the language perfectly, jumped up. We never missed a beat. I knew that we had to show the precious people, how much God really loved them by seeing his miracles unfold. Because it felt like, oh, it's going to break and they're going to overrun the stage any second. We didn't miss a beat. God's hand was on that translator. By the next night, he was back on stage with us. By the night after that, he was translating again. What the radical element wanted was to shut down the whole crusade, just like that praise attempt that they had a few years before, but the miracles of heaven began to fall as we prayed a quick prayer. A tall Fulani tribesman right off the stage, right down here, began to yell. I mean, these dudes are tough. They're big. They're tall. The Fulanis and the Tories, they began to yell out. And what he was yelling is, I have been blind all these many years, but this Jesus has opened my eyes. I will now follow him forever. Woo! Glory to God. It broke. all of a sudden miracles begin to happen all over that wrestling arena, far and wide. The next night they came, the crowd had doubled, not a rock was being thrown. They were hanging on every word. It was an explosive in the sense of trying to shut us down. It was explosive with anticipation, expectation. And then when the miracles began to testify, man, the people just were exploding with applause. And to the point that the imams got on the radio and started saying, Allah does not heal whatever you have, you are fated to have. Yeah. Wow. Too late. Allah may not heal, but Jesus heals and is the healer, is the resurrected Lord, and is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They came for far and wide. It was unstoppable what God did. Tune in to globalventures.tv and pull up Niger. We had to make a double episode. We have a reality show, a real TV show, 30 episodes strong. You'll be able to watch it and see what God did. It was amazing, the thousands upon thousands that were born again by His power. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Do you know today there are still over 7,400 people groups? Matthew 24:14. Jesus said, all these things are going to happen. Some of the things we've been seeing this last year, pestilences and pandemics. He said, but none of these things will signify the end. He said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. When we say nations there, the actual language isn't talking about the sovereign governmental nation of like India or China or Peru or Canada. It's talking what? God so loved the world, people. It's talking people groups. Do you know to date there's over 17,000 people groups on planet Earth? And those that are experts that measure it say there's still over 7,400 people groups that are still classified as unreached. They do not have enough believers within their midst to provide an adequate witness to those people groups. That's why God's raised up a Liberty Church International. That's why there's a Legacy Park. That's why you guys have said we're going to have a commission conference, Great Commission. We're not going to do church as usual. We're not going to be just an everyday average. No, you're not an average church. You're a supernatural church. You're a church with the heartbeat of God. You're the church that's like the beloved that leaned over John and leaned over on the master's chest and heard the heartbeat of God. The world, the world, the world. You guys beat with a different heartbeat. And as a result, you've qualified and positioned yourself to see things that average churches don't see. You've qualified yourself to see what you were declaring, favor and provision and doors of opportunity, and oh, and the greatest, that you affect precious lives all over the planet that will be eternally transformed, and one day they're going to walk up in heaven. Oh, the greatest reward, it's not mansions, it's not rewards, it's people. When they walk up, that's why Paul said, you are my prize, you are my crown. It's precious human beings. One day I probably won't even recognize him when I get to heaven, but I'm going to see a bricklayer from Andhra Pradesh, Markapuram, India, and he's going to walk up to me. And he's going to find all those that helped sponsor those that crusade and say, you didn't know me, but you paid so the gospel could get to me, and I want to hug your neck. Praise be to God. It's about precious human souls. The greatest day to be alive and the greatest work to put our hands to is the harvest. The harvest. I want to be part of God's end game. We get to see it transpire. It shall be done. Two different times in Revelations it's recorded. Now, I know eschatology gurus, and I'm not an eschatology guru. I respect them and love hearing just all the ins and outs, but I'll just take it the way Joseph told Pharaoh. The reason you've had two dreams is this is something that's surely established. It is surely going to be done. When God shows two different depictions of every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every people group around the throne of God. It's because that's the very core of his heart. He wants it done. He knows it's going to get done. And he said, come do it with me. Step into the greatest destiny design that I have on your life. Dare to sign up and go to the other side of the planet. Go to Indonesia. Go to Thailand. Win the Buddhists. Win the Muslims. Win the Hindus to Jesus. God wants us to have eternal fruit that abounds forever, that will welcome us when we enter the gates of glory, saying, thank you. I'm here because you said yes. And you didn't listen to the narrative on planet Earth. You unleashed heaven's narrative on planet Earth. And you made eternal history truly come about in the here and now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here and you say, John, that's me. Something that you've said has spoken to the depths of my being, and I don't want to just go through the motions. I don't want to just meagerly live life. I want to make heaven's history on this planet. I want to make my life count. I want to live with purpose and distinguished destiny. If that's you, raise your hand all over this place. You say, I want to live with the fullness. Now, I don't want halfway. I don't want 50%. I don't want even 90%. I want the fullness of what his destiny design, that distinguished destiny design is upon. Hands going up all over. My hand's up. You know why? Because 2.3 million souls isn't enough. I want to see that double and double again and then reach 10 times that. I want to see 23 million born again. I don't want to stop there. I want to raise up an army that will go out and help reap the harvest. We're underway with that. I want to see 1,000 frontline harvesters raised up. Oh, glory to God. I want to go after hundreds of millions of souls by seeing many, many, many members rise up and go after. Raise your hand high if you say, I want to step into my destiny design. I want to do the fullness of what God's called me to do. Yes. Some of you are pastors. Some of you are ministers. And I'm here to tell you, God even has more. You've seen. Oh, you've seen and you've walked in and you've experienced, but God is saying that there is far more. There's far more that he is unveiling, far more that he's designed you for, far more than the victories of yesterday and of old. Oh, that was warm up for this final era that he has designed you for. I want to give one other call. If we can put our hands down quickly. One other call, if you're here and you say, John, I'm not sure I'm even right with the master. Two categories of this call. You might say, John, I don't know if I've ever even given him my life. I don't know if I'm really his. Or you might say, I did it one time, but I'm not where I need to be. Maybe there's some areas in your life that need to be shored up. Maybe you haven't been fellowshipping where you need to be with him. Maybe you've dropped and fallen away. Maybe it's weights. Maybe it's not even sin. Paul talked about sin and weights that so easily beset us, slow us down, deter us in running the race. You have a race to run. You have a victory prize to be won. There's great things God has in and on you. If you're here and you're like, man, I know. I shouldn't have taken that job. I shouldn't have been working those extra shifts. God wanted me to be preparing for ministry or doing in this aspect of something to reach the community or go to the other side of the planet and take part in that. If you say, yeah, there are some things that are keeping me from running his best race, swift and true, raise your hand. If you say, I'm not right where I need to be, raise your hand high all over this place. Thank you, thank you. Hands going up. You might say, I don't even know if I believe and I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, that's why we're here. God loves you. His wonderful plan for your life is going to unfold from this very moment forward. I want everybody right now to put their hand on their heart, everyone in the entire building. Put your hand on your heart and raise your other hand to heaven. I want you to say this to him. Dear God, thank you for designing me, custom making me with a destiny design. I know that it can only be fulfilled, and I can only be fulfilled when I step into the fullness of that very thing that you've custom designed me for. So, Lord, here am I. Fully yielding to you. I give my life completely my heart completely, every part of me, every facet of who you made me to be. I yield it to you. That means I make you fully Lord. I let go and turn away from anything, sin, weights, busyness, anything that would keep me from running. Sure and true, what you've made me to do in and on this planet. My life is 120% yours. Every bit of me. I'll do your bidding. I choose to be part of your harvest. I'll go to the other side of the planet. I'll harvest abroad. And I'll reach out here to neighbors, friends, co-workers, co-students, even strangers. I am yours 24/7, 365. Use me mightily to win many and to work the miracles to manifest the glory of heaven on behalf of humanity that so desperately needs it. I commit to it now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Raise your hands high and give him praise. Oh, we praise you, Ancient of Days. We praise you, author, finisher, beginner, perfecter of our faith. Our lives are truly hidden you, and in and through you, you cause us to discover the fullness of all that you've made us for. In Jesus' name, forevermore. God bless you. We love you from Global Ventures. We count it an honor to be in divine partnership. If you had a prompting today to come out on the other side of the world and harvest with us, text that number GV2021-31 to 313131 with your information or stop at the table. We love you. We appreciate you. And we'll be praying and standing with you for the great and mighty things God not only is going to do through you around the world, but what God's also going to do from around the world through you right here. God bless you, Pastor.
Hallelujah.